So our text for this morning's meditation is from our epistle reading we heard a few moments ago, and these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He's the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our text raises the question of responsibility. Of responsibility. Of exactly who is responsible for the fact that we are Christians. Well, the answer to that question is obvious, at least according to Scripture. God is responsible. God is responsible. The fact that we are Christians is God's doing, not ours. By grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So Ephesians, it's a gift of God. That's what it says there in Scripture. Our faith in Christ is a gift of God. Our faith in Christ is a gift of God given to us out of His undeserved love for us, that is, His grace. Now, for this fact, we should simply be thankful. We should rejoice. We should simply live each day in joy, like if we had suddenly been gifted with millions and millions and millions of dollars. I mean, if that happened, we should simply be thankful. We should simply rejoice. We should simply live each day in joy. Or at least so we think. But even if such a thing were to happen, it would not be so easy, would it? So simple, so marvelous. For after a while, the question would arise in our minds and in our hearts, and that is, why me? Why have I, in particularly, been given such a wonderful gift of millions and millions and millions of dollars and not somebody else? And you know, that same question is raised within us when we contemplate the gift of faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith in Christ. Given to us by God. The question that's raised within us by the realization of this gift of faith is, why me? Why has God given me faith, not my friend? Why has God given me faith and not my spouse? Why has God given me faith and not my mom or my coworker? I mean, there must be some sort of responsibility on my part, responsibility for the faith that I have been given. There must just be something within me that God saw. And so He gave me the gift of faith. So in reality, I am kind of responsible for the faith that I have. Because how else can I explain the fact that I have it and another person does not? That's what we do, right? That's what we do normally when something happens to us, something good happens to us, and we cannot really grasp why it should happen specifically to us. And so we have to, well, chalk it up to responsibility, our responsibility that somehow we did the right things to cause such unexplainable goodness to occur in our lives. Of course, we're not so quick to do the same, to take responsibility when it comes to something bad which happens to us. I mean, when something bad happens to us, are we not quick to assign the responsibility of that evil to something or someone else? Yeah, I mean, that's the way the old Adam works. The old Adam, our old Adam, goes out of his way to take credit for anything worth taking credit for, but distancing himself, yes, quickly distancing himself from anything for which he does not want to take responsibility. Well, now let's bring God into the picture. For God himself really is the heart of the matter when it comes to the reception of good things like faith and the experiencing of evil things. You see, when we're looking to assign responsibility for good or for evil, what we are doing is we're taking God out of the picture. We're taking him out of the picture. Denying that he's truly working in our lives, fleeing the idea that behind the everyday of life is the creator and giver and sustainer of life itself, and that is God. Interesting here is that our highest praise of God, the best way for us to praise God, to acknowledge God and to worship him, is to say two words. Just two words. And those two words are not praise God, but simply, thank you. Thank you. Why are those two words, thank you, of such high value when it comes to praising God? Well, those two words are the four words of the liturgical phrase, thanks be to God. Well, they acknowledge that faith, the faith we have in Christ, the faith which brings to us the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, truly is not from ourselves. It's a gift of God, a free gift, an undeserved gift, a gift for which we can take no responsibility, and so we just have to get over it. Just get over it. We have to live with the idea that God, out of his undeserved love for us, has done such a marvelous thing for us, and we can't go any further. Not try to explain it, not try to justify it, not try somehow to take responsibility for it so that our sin-tainted consciences can rest at ease. Our faith in Jesus is the work of God. God's doing. God's doing through Jesus, our Lord. So Paul to the Corinthian Christians, speaking of how, in fact, God works in such a way, he, that is God, is the source. He's the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and redemption. Now there, right there, God is assigning responsibility. Responsibility for our faith, our life, our love. Not as it plays out each day. Now, as it plays out in each day in the world. And that is, if we wish to find the source of our wisdom to live each day, our righteousness upon which we can depend each day, our sanctification which we can grow each day, yes, if we want somehow to discover the responsibility for our redemption in which we can rejoice each day, we go in our hearts and minds to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's responsible for all those things within us. So are we not simply happy that this is so? And then stop right there? We don't, do we? But which one of us, think about this, which one of us does the same thing when it comes to our citizenship? I mean, questions why we have it, questions why we're Americans? You ever thought about this? You ever thought about the fact that we had only a 1 in 20 chance in being born in the United States? 1 in 20. Being a U.S. citizen, of being an American? I know I think about it every time I leave the country. That is the fact that I'm an American, born here through no action of my own, being not responsible in the least for my country of origin. But that being so, and realizing that so many people in the world are not Americans, and not understanding why that's so, I don't rush down to the local government office and renounce my American citizenship out of guilt. You know, you can do that. You can do that. You can fill out one piece of paper and sign it on the bottom and send it into Washington, and you will no longer be an American citizen. But whoever contemplates doing such a thing? And whoever takes responsibility for being born here? So how do we handle it? We just don't think about it. We don't go there. Why? Because there's no way to resolve the situation in our minds, that is, in our hearts and minds. And so instead, we're grateful. We simply are grateful for living where we live and cherish who we are. And if that is true when it comes to our citizenship, our earthly citizenship, should it not also be true, or even more true, when it comes to our heavenly citizenship? Our citizenship in the kingdom of God. Citizenship beyond our responsibility given to us when we were baptized into Christ and the Holy Spirit came down upon us and dwelt in our hearts. You know, I suppose one of the chief reasons that some Christians shy away from baptism as God's doing, as the point at which God works within us, faith in Christ by His Spirit, by washing and renewing and regenerating us, I suppose the reason some Christians even eschew baptism, because it's just too uncomfortable. Too uncomfortable, the thought that God works through baptism in such a way. Such Christians want to take responsibility for doing themselves what God actually does. Why does God do it? Why does God work in such a way? Why? Well, Paul tells us in the epistle reading, in oh so many words, saying that Christian faith in Christ is not a result of achieving some sort of worldly position of power, so being gifted by God with that. Not a matter of being part of some sort of high-class family, so God looks down on us and gives us faith. Christian faith is not the end result of years and years of intensive study whereby God says, oh yeah, I finally got it, so here's faith. Or only for those of economic prowess, yep, check the bank account, he's got enough money, give him faith. But faith in Jesus is the work of God. God, our loving Heavenly Father, who by working faith in people in such an inexplicable way, in people that by logic should have no faith at all, God would that we recognize His working, His doing, His establishment of the church on earth in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. The church is God's doing. Our faith in Christ, God's doing. Our life in Christ, where Christ daily is our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption, God's doing. Now, our epistle reading ends with the assertion, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. That should make sense now. How's it supposed to work? Well, it works just like our boasting in something to which we're connected, whether it's a corporation which is doing well, a sports team that's performing well. Yeah, I wrote this Saturday. Or anything else we tie ourselves to that we think somehow represents us. I mean, this week when you boast about something, think about how it would sound if instead you boast in the Lord. Hey, did you see what God did in the hospital there with Uncle Mike? Yeah, amazing. Boy, it's unbelievable what God did this morning in getting the roads cleared. Yeah, fabulous. How about God? How about how God is continuing to help our children grow? Yeah, they're getting big. Wow, I know. Odd, huh? But so true. Let's boast in the Lord. Let's place the responsibility where the responsibility lies. And those things which we cannot explain, let's leave them alone. Continually give thanks. Give thanks for our loving Heavenly Father who continues to work in our lives every single day in oh so many ways that we cannot even begin to comprehend. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.